Good afternoon. Good to see you all. Glad you braved the rain and made it. I was thinking, rain here is like snow anywhere else, right? It slows the traffic down, it makes it hard. So take a big breath. Do it again with some noise. So this is our final weekend of the practitioner training. It's probably hard to believe that it's already, this is the fifth weekend. And during this weekend, we'll do some integration activities and you'll learn a lot of additional processes and refine your skills. But just to kind of bridge last time and this time, how many of you have experimented with like the dynamic spin material? How's it gone for you? Any magical things happen? Yeah? What's that? Yeah?
Getting an infection on my nose piercing, and so I did like a spin release like in the morning, and then at lunch, and then at dinner, and then the next day it was like completely gone.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. It's funny because Chris and I were in Tokyo and we were somewhere, and both of us got two or three little bites on us from something. So I had this little bite in my arm, I had this red spot on my arm, and so first thing I did is spin it out, and she didn't bother to spin hers out, and they were there in a problem for like itchy for two or three days. And I said, well, spin it out. And she did, and they disappeared. So it's kind of like, it's pretty cool when that happens, isn't it? Mine went away in about a half an hour or so. It was a histamine response to something. But it's the thing I love about dynamic spin, it's something you can do on your own, and it works pretty well for all kinds of things. And I'm still surprised at where it works when it seems like such a simple process. And it does something like you did. You're starting to get this thing and it goes away. So keep doing it. If you get uptight or nervous or angry or annoyed or have feelings you don't want, if the first thing you do is spin them out, it's great. If you do another process and there's any residue, spin it out. You probably finish it off a lot. So, to give you, yes?
I had a question about it. I found it was pretty effective in several different cases, but there's sometimes when I noticed when I was working with somebody where you just begin to notice there's a lot of other qualities of movement besides spin. You know, as sometimes there's some irregular, sometimes it's described as a jellyfish type of pulsation, or just an irregular, like this type of thing. And so in that kind of case, I was thinking, well, I was immediately thought, well, it was to spin, which direction would be spinning? But then I was thinking, is that more coming from me? I mean, am I putting something in there that then I'm going to be doing therapy on something that I've installed?
Well, it'll keep your practice going.
But I just had to be curious about your comment, because you've done so much, you must have noticed this.
There's all kinds of, you get things like somebody pull it out and I'll say, what's it doing? It's kind of going like this, or it's going, or it's just sitting there. But it still works if you say, but you're not putting your map on which way is it spinning, or you know, just say if it were to spin, which way would it spin it? But you could experiment. Well, the reason I think that spin is important and not some of the other submodalities as much, because I've explored changing those around a lot. I think last time we talked about overlap, where, for example, if somebody has a headache, you can have them pull it out and you say, what's it look like? And sometimes you see something pulsing, but then you change the image into something else, and often that'll reduce the headache or take it away. But I think spin is such an intrinsic part of things. It's more than just a submodality. So, submodalities we're actually going to get into today in a deeper way than you have before. But submodalities are the qualities of your internal representations, of your picture, sounds, feelings. So a lot of times you'll get some kind of quality there, but the spin, I think, is a submodality at one level, but I think it's something else at a different level. Especially with this idea of spin-mediated consciousness, where they're saying when something isn't working, the spin changes, then often it starts working. And so I think we just stumbled into something accidentally that may have some bigger meaning in the world than just a submodality. I don't know if that's a good answer or not. But, you know, explore it too. If somebody has it pulsing this way, say, well, what happens if you pulse it the other way? And often you'll see, or slow it down, you'll get a difference. And all those submodality changes are going to make a huge difference. You know, sometimes, have you ever felt really amped up and things are going too fast and you check out your pictures and they're going too fast? You can't sleep, but if you slow them down, or tonality at night, people are trying to sleep and their inside voice is going, boy, I hope I get to sleep, I've got to get up in the morning, I've got so much to do. And of course, with that kind of tonality, what does it do to you? It's like, and you wonder why you can't sleep. So if you slow that down, it can really help in certain ways. So all those submodality differences are going to make a big difference in somebody's experience. But I would say we don't have anywhere near as many answers as we have questions. So if you can think of the right questions, that's going to serve you and whoever you're working with a lot better than having to have the answer. Bandler used to say it's in NLP, it's a lot more important to want to find out than to know something. So if you're in that discovery mode, then that's the way you learn new things or find out things nobody's ever known before. You know, you make incredible discoveries doing that if you're diligent with it. The knowledge in NLP, you know, has gone from this to that because of so many students having so much contribution to it.